Okay, I got something exciting to tell you. We are 11 weeks pregnant, and we are excited. God is doing a miracle in our life. It's amazing. Just pregnancy will get people all excited like that. Yes, yes, babies. We are pumped, and I'm just asking that you guys just pray us through as we have prayed for you in your seasons, the highs and lows. We are, you know, wrestling through anything and everything that you probably would, the fears and the realities that come in the night seasons and all that good stuff. But, you know, honestly, I really feel a peace in just believing God and trusting God and just saying, God, that your will be done. And we are praying for life and health and protection over our child and believing the best. Cool. All right. Hey, I figured if Mick Jagger can have a new baby at 73, I'm still not too old, so I got at least 30-something years on him. I'll be good, right? We've been talking about community and this word connection, and today I want to talk about a specific connection that I believe transcends all the others and is superior to all the others, and this is the connection of faith, and that's what we're going to talk about today, being connected by faith. I think all of us, if you really think about where your life is right now in Christ and who Jesus is, everything that you've obtained by faith, and if you think about it, like baptism, salvation, the prayers you're praying over your children, the prayers you're praying over your future, all of that stuff has come by faith, right? There was salvation. God saved you, and he changed your life, and you began to walk that out, and that was God's grace over your life, but the truth is you had to obtain that by faith. The same thing when you got baptized, right? You had to trust that God was erasing the past, that was a public declaration, a confession to say, you know what, God, I'm standing with you on this earth, believing that what you say about me now is greater than what I felt about myself in the past. So you embrace that by faith. When you believed that the Dallas Cowboys were going to get where you thought they were going to get, you had to believe that by faith. That took a lot of faith. It was looking good for a while. But I want you to think, hey, I was done with it. Y'all want to keep it going. I was moving on to scripture. But if you think about it, that's what people refer to us as. You know, when you think about how people talk about Christians, even in the media, they'll say things like, well, that's a community of faith, or they're a faith community, or those are a people of faith, or they're part of the Christian faith. So every time I hear that phrase, I kind of think, man, they sure describe us like that a lot. We should probably know a little bit more about the faith that we proclaim. And we should probably know a whole lot more about whether or not we're actually living from a place of faith when it comes to what we're saying and how we're living. So I want to talk about that today because people often describe faith as a feeling. So they say things like, well, my faith is kind of low. I'm just not feeling. But, you know, faith is not a feeling. Faith is an action. Faith is a trust in God. Faith is something that is superior to our feelings. Our feelings come and go, but our faith is supposed to remain. Our faith is supposed to be unshakable. And everything that God has given us, and everything that we obtain from now until the day we go to be with Jesus, if you think about it, our assignment is faith. Think about everything that God has next for you, everything that God has in your future, everything that God has for your kids, it's a walk of faith. It's not just accident. It's not just going to happen. There has to be faith attached to the very things that we're believing God for. I want a good marriage. Well, that's nice. That's nice. It's either a wish or you have faith to see God see that thing through when things don't look like they're nice. Is it too early to talk about marriage? You know, if we're making a transition into a season and everything is guaranteed, we don't really need faith. But if we're stepping into realms and areas of life where the unfamiliar is feeling very familiar, where the impossible is becoming very uncomfortable, that's an opportunity for faith. And if you think about it, that's the type of life God has called us to live. It isn't a life of guarantees. Our guarantee is Jesus. Our guarantee is his love. Our guarantee is his salvation. Our guarantee is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But The race in our life is going to be a race of faith, a walk of faith. See, Jesus kind of said it like this, and this is powerful because this is in the book of Revelation, and this is a prophetic declaration, but what he's saying here in Revelation chapter 1, he says, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. In other words, I'm the beginning and the end. And then look what he says here. He says, I'm the God who is, I'm the God who was, and I'm the God who is to come. I think it's interesting and bears worth noting that God first describes himself as the God who is present, the God who is, the God right now, the God that we need right now. When most of the time, if you think about it, a lot of people talk about God or talk about him in a way as if he's not in the room, or talk about him as if he's at a distance, or what God meant in this scripture, they talk about him as if he's historical. They talk about what God might do. You know, the rapture might be this. He might do that. What's going to happen in the world? You know, is this the apocalypse? All these kinds of things. They're always talking about the God of the future, or the God of the past. But God says, I am the God who is. Not just the God who was, not just the God who is to come, but the God who is. In other words, he's declaring about himself, right? We like to clarify for people who we are. God's clarifying for us who he is. He is the God who is present in our life right now. The God who is present in our circumstances. The God who's present in this season. Not just the season that he covered us from our mistakes, which thank God for that. Not just the season he delivered us from ourselves, and thank God for that. And not just the season where we're believing God for great promises and things over our kids and things in our future, and we're believing all that great stuff, the someday stuff, but what about the God who is present right now? Present in a way where the woman who worshiped him at his feet and was brought to tears and could not even communicate the words to communicate her gratitude of how thankful she was for God's presence in her life at that moment. When was the last time that you felt that sense of connection to who God is? I'm not just talking about maybe in times in church where you're worshiping, or maybe even when you have time by yourself and you're listening to a teaching or reading the Bible. I'm talking about just walking day by day, doing your life, doing what you do wherever you are, sensing and knowing the presence of God is with you. Not that God is just at church, or that God is just in a connect group, or that God is just in my devoted time with him, but that literally God is right now. Whatever you're walking through, God is in that season. Whatever you're experiencing, God is in that moment. Whatever you're facing, God is in that situation. Isn't that mind-blowing? To know that God is not just the one who was and the one who is to come, but he's the God who is. Let me ask you, do your prayers reflect that? Is the way that you're praying right now talking about the God who is? You know, because it'll affect our language. You'll find yourself saying things, well, I hope God does that, versus I believe God is going to do that. You'll say it about your marriage, you'll say it about your finances, you'll say it about your future. But the truth is, God has come today to shake up your reality about what you believe about who he is. And what God is saying to you today is much bigger than the story of your past and even the things he'll do in your future. What God has me here to tell you today is that he is the God who is. The God who is in your life right now. How many of you need him in your life right now? You'd say, yeah, that's me. I need him in a situation. I got these crazy kids. Somebody pray for me, right? Somebody needs God for their kids, just for your kids. Amen? Let's get two amens for that. Amen, amen. All right. Let's just get three while we're at it. Amen, amen, amen. That means let it be, all right? Faith is described this way in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We read Hebrews 11. It's amazing fathers of faith. We hear about Noah and Moses and all these people who obtained the things that God had promised them by faith. But this is how faith is described. It says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So there's a confidence in not what we're seeing, but what we're actually hoping for. So when I'm praying for my life and I'm praying for my marriage and I'm praying for God's will to be done in me, through me, around me, there's a sense that I'm believing in faith. It's already happening because I have that confidence in what I'm hoping for. It's not a wish. I'm not painting a happy picture hoping things are better. Not like that Bob Ross guy with the afro that's looking all cool, painting these amazing. Isn't that dude amazing? That dude's amazing. How does he do that? Well, he's dead now. He doesn't do anymore. But his Netflix old videos show us how awesome he was. See, I'm old enough to remember when that was on Channel 9 and he was painting up a storm all the time. Remember? Just think happy thoughts. Just think happy thoughts. Let's put some happy little trees over here. It's like, why do I feel so good when I watch this dude? This is awesome. See, faith understands that things are promised in our future that we have confidence will obtain. It's hard for us to believe today. See, I think it's much easier for us, especially right now in this culture, especially right now with society, we live in the realm of feelings, not faith. What's crowned as king is the way you feel. What's crowned as king is what you think about what you feel and what you feel about what he feels about what she feels. And your feelings are crowned king. Jesus never crowned feelings as king. He crowned faith as king. This is why the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because when you see certain things, they can be deceiving. Things that you're walking through and circumstances that you don't know how you're going to make that out of them or how you're going to get through them or what's going to happen, they can deceive you into thinking this is the end. Or there's no hope beyond this situation. Or things can't get any worse than this. Anybody been there before? Come on, and what were your feelings telling you? Everything but the truth of what God says is. Because that's the way a lot of times the enemy works. He works a lot of times through our feelings and through our own perceptions rather than the truth of God. And what I'm wanting our church to understand this morning is that to be connected by faith to the things that God has for us, it is a very, 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 very important part of our walk with God. To be connected by faith. To walk in faith, to walk in the truth of what God says. He says we don't walk by sight. We actually walk by faith, which is crazy because we have eyes to see. Yet what I see is not always the truth. What I see is not always reality. What I see can be deceiving. Are you with me this morning? What I see can actually not be the truth. And God's saying here, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This is why he says, fix your eyes on what is not on what is seen, but what is unseen, on the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary. Why? Because everything right now that you're seeing is passing away. Everything is passing by. Even the fear that you had last week, the fear that you had 5 years ago, remember the greatest fear you had, and now it's over. Guess what? It passed away. Yet in that season, we thought, how is this going to happen? How are we going to make it? How am I going to get through this? Why? Because that's what fear does. Fear crushes our faith. Fear crushes our ability sometimes to actually see the unseen that God is promising us, the unseen that God is speaking over our life. So we often fix our feelings on what we don't see rather than our eyes, and we often fix our fears on what we can't see rather than our faith. Does that make sense this morning? See, several times in the New Testament, Jesus actually used a particular phrase that I thought was really powerful because it shows the difference between what happens when we believe God for who he is and when we don't. But think about this. Jesus came into town different times. He would heal people. Sometimes he would come into a big crowd and only heal one. Sometimes he would go and heal many. But this one particular phrase stands out so many times in the Bible where Jesus repeatedly says this. He says, your faith has made you well. He didn't say your feelings have made you well. He didn't say what you feel about the season has made you well. What you feel about what you've been through has made you well. What you feel is fair or unfair has made you well. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, that's unfair. So here, I'll heal you. No, it has nothing to do with that. He says, your faith in me has made you well. And the word for well a lot of times is translated to the word whole. Your faith has made you complete. In other words, the things many times that people were lacking, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, God filled those things too. That's the beauty of Jesus. He says, your faith has healed you. He said this to the 10 lepers. He said this to the blind beggar. He says this to the woman with the issue of blood. He says the same thing. Your faith has healed you. There's power in your faith. I'll say it again. There's power in your faith. There is power in your faith. I wouldn't say there's power in your feelings. But Jesus shows us there's power in our faith. To the prostitute, he says, your faith has saved you. As she weeps at his feet, your faith has saved you. Not your actions to do better, to try harder, to not be this, to not be that. No, your faith in me has saved you, which shows you no matter the challenge of your past, your faith in who Christ is can deliver you. It's beautiful, isn't it? See, I think it bears worth noting that in Matthew, I believe chapter 13, and I think Mark 5, it's translated this way, where Jesus talks about not being able to do miracles in certain areas with certain people because they were full of unbelief. It's hard for me to fathom how God is hindered because he's God, right? God says he came into town. I'll read it to you so you get a full picture. He says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? I'm not beating you up telling you don't have faith. I'm telling you the importance of faith. Are you hearing through the filter correctly this morning? He's saying he did not do many miracles there in that season, in that moment, in that place, at the place where there was need. Why? Because the people were lacking faith. And it says he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. See, it's difficult for us to fathom the reality that God and his work can be hindered in any form because we know he's God. Yet here we're seeing there's a direct connection between what God is doing when he's doing something powerful and the miraculous and the role that faith plays in God actually doing that. Most of us would take the feeling of, well, if God wants to do it, he can do it. God says, no, that's not how it works. Your faith plays a role in this. Well, if God wants to make my marriage better, he'll make it better. No, your faith plays a role in that. Well, if God wants to provide, you know, I guess he can do it. No, your faith plays a role in that. Well, I don't know what the season holds. If God wants to do something, I guess he can bless me. No, your faith plays a role in your future. Every single time. See, I wonder what miraculous things, I wonder what things people missed out on in that season where Jesus said that. Simply because their faith was non-existent. Like, I wonder what things Jesus had planned. Maybe things that we would actually read about now that he did. Yet, people missed out on it. They missed the moment. They were disconnecting from what God not just wanted to do, but could have done because they were so disconnected from faith. Are you with me this morning? See, what I'm trying to tell you, though, is that if the enemy can get to your faith, he can get to your future. If he can get to your faith, he can get to your future. If he can get to your faith, he can get to your future. If he can get to your faith, he can get to your future. If he can get to your faith, he can get to your future. Everything that you've climbed out of, if he can get to your faith, he can get to the future that lies ahead. Everything that you prayed yourself out of and believed yourself out of, if he can get to your faith, he can get to your future. Now, a lot of people will sit on the sidelines and wait their life out and wish their life away and watch the happy paintings on Netflix and think, oh, that's nice, that's how life should be. But the truth is, faith is the thing that takes you from one place to the next. And this is what God is telling us. If the enemy can get to your faith, he can get to your future. Look what he told Peter. He said, Simon Peter, I have prayed that your faith may not fail you. Jesus is at the end of his life. He's about to be crucified, right? The reality of everything that's happened, he's saying, I pray that your faith may not fail you. He didn't say, I pray that your health doesn't fail you. Keep doing that CrossFit, eating that health stuff. Keep off the cheeseburgers and the pizza. Stay away from that stuff because I'm praying that your health doesn't fail you. He didn't say, I'm praying that your good looks never fail you. I'm praying that your hair never fails you. I'm praying that your style never fails you. Always looking on point. I'm praying that your kids never fail you. I'm praying that your job never fails you. I'm praying that your marriage never fails you. I'm praying. No, he didn't say any of those. I mean, if you think all the things Jesus could pray for in a moment, he's going to pray for me. If Jesus is going to pray for me, what does he pray for? He prays that my faith won't fail. Because that what I see has the ability to take me out of my faith. This is what happened to Peter. It's the same exact Peter who Jesus rebuked. And when he rebuked him, then turned around and praised him and said, upon this rock I will build my church, and your name is Peter, and you're going to do mighty and miraculous things, and you're going to change the face of the church and the New Testament, and you're going to go on and preach the gospel and do these incredible things. It's the same Peter. It's the same Peter that got out of the boat and began to lose faith once he took his eyes off of Jesus. His faith began to sink. Not when he stepped out, but when he took his eyes. It says, and when he began to see the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Think about it. The wind and the waves in your life always come to sink you. They always come to sink your faith. You don't have to believe this morning. I'm trying to encourage you in the truth that God is trying to lift your faith to another level. We've got a society right now that is dictating that your feelings are what's most important. God is saying, your feelings are going to carry you to the end of your life. You can't always trust your feelings. Sometimes you want to give up on God. Sometimes you want to give up on life. Sometimes you want to give up on whatever. But God is saying, don't trust in that. I want you to trust in the faith that I've placed on the inside of you. See, I'm going to read you Luke chapter 5. I didn't go through this in the 9:30 message, but I wanted to add this as a free appetizer for you guys for this service. It's Luke chapter 5, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, this is Peter. He said, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear, and a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. You know, I've heard this passage preached all my life, but what stood out to me this time is that line, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Because I think that's the statement of someone who's stepping into faith. Someone who's saying, you know, if you say so, God, I will do this. If you say so, I will believe. Yes, if you say so, I will pray. If you say so, God. See, that's what faith is. Faith is not, but my feelings are telling me I worked all night and nothing happened. I've been doing this forever and nothing's changing. I've been in this scenario forever. And Jesus, it says, he calls him out deeper. Jesus always calls you out deeper when he's calling you into faith. He takes you out of the shallow end of the pool and pushes you into the deeper end. You don't need a lifeguard in the shallow. You need a lifeguard in the deep. That's why God calls us into the deep. This is why God calls us deeper, to see things that we haven't seen before, to be familiar with the unfamiliar, to be a little uncomfortable with the unaware, with a place we've not been before. See, faith doesn't approach God looking for guarantees. Faith understands God is the guarantee. That's what faith understands. Faith understands God is my guarantee. If this works out, fantastic, but if not, I've still got God. If all this comes to pass, that's wonderful, but nevertheless, I still win because I have God. If everybody leaves me and forsakes me, it doesn't matter because I still have God. If things don't work out the way I planned or prayed, I still have God. See, faith says, I don't know why, but I trust you. I don't know why that happened, but I trust you. This is what Job said. He said, though he slay me, yet I will still hope in him. Man, that's a powerful statement. Are we there this morning? Are you there as a believer? Think about it. God, get comfortable with this. God has not called us to do what's humanly possible. This is why it's hard. We're not called to do what's humanly possible. These kids are driving me crazy. Yeah, it's not humanly possible to do what you do. That's why you need God. You know, this job, I don't know if I can take this anymore. Yeah, that's right. You can't do what's humanly possible. If you can do what's humanly possible, you don't need God. You don't need faith. You don't need to pray. You don't need him intervening. You don't need his hand in there. But faith tells me, I don't know how this is going to happen, but God, I'm going to follow you anyway. Faith says, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about here, but I'll step out and go deeper with you, God, and trust you that whatever you're saying, whatever you're calling me to, you're already there. This is what the miraculous thing about it, how it was with Peter, was that Jesus was already there where Peter needed to be. And God wanted him to keep his eyes fixed on him. Yet Peter looked at his circumstances. See, the path of the impossible is always the road that's less traveled. The path of the impossible. Most people are praying for what's possible. Let me ask you, are the things that you're praying for right now, do you really need God for those things? Or do you just need, like, a raise? You don't need God for a raise. Well, we really need this deal to go through. Well, you won't be destroyed like, you know, like the Death Star on Star Wars where you'll explode if the deal doesn't go through. It'll disappoint you, but do you need God for that? Come on, I'm trying to get us to the place where we're really thinking about what God is calling us into as people of faith. When people call us the community of faith, the people of faith, are we actually those people that they think that we are? Are they who they think we are? Are we that person? Are we that person of faith that's living that out, that's actually saying, yes, God, I hear what you're saying. You're calling me deeper, and I'm stepping out. Not according to my feelings. Not according to the fact that it hasn't worked out before, but God, that you are God, and I will trust you. Question, I want to ask you this last question as we close. How much energy do you spend thinking about what might not happen right now if God doesn't come through? How much energy do you spend thinking about what might not happen if God doesn't come through? And how much energy could you spend standing in faith that God is God in spite of what you're seeing? Keeping your spirit not just above water, but your spirit in a place where you can see God at work in everything, where you can see God at work in people's lives, where you can see God working even in and through your lack, where you can see God working in and through your circumstance because you're not ruled by your feelings. Faith always calls us deeper. Faith calls us to a place where we believe that God is. Come on, church, this morning I'm praying that we take a greater step of faith and start believing. Not just the God who was, not the God of someday, not just the God who delivered us. He is all that, but I'm talking about the God who is in our situation right now. The God that is fully present in everything you're walking through. That's my prayer for you right now, that you would see him, that you would see him for who he is. Not even for who you want him to be, but for who he is in your life right now. That you would clear the fog away. Ever been driving and the windshield wipers don't work and you should have changed them 3 years ago, but now they're scraping the windshield and you've almost cut a piece of glass out of the windshield because all you got to do is spend $20 and go to the, but you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, it never rains in Texas. And then you're like, starts raining, you're like, I can't see. Why didn't I spend the $20? Why? See, when you can't see, it affects your confidence. Things get dangerous when you can't see correctly. You start making decisions out of feeling. Judging. I hope this is the right. I can't see. I'm driving, but I can't see. God wants you to see. See with eyes of faith. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you are the God who is. The God who is fully present right now in our circumstance. God, today, and we call you, Lord. We call you, Father. And we call you. And we call out to you and ask you, God, give us eyes to see with faith, Lord. Teach us to see not what's happening around us, but God, who you are in the circumstance, who you are in the situation. Lord, today we've come before you knowing the reality of what we're experiencing and what we're dealing with and what we're facing and the next season ahead and the current pressures and the possible fears and the things that are happening around and this society is speaking one way about things. God, you want us as your people to be people who speak with of faith, people who hear with faith, people who see with faith, people who can speak life today, God, I pray that you would guard the words of our mouth, God, that we'd speak words of faith. Not living in a fairy tale world, God, but living in a place of faith, a realm of faith that calls us into the deeper waters, calls us out from where we are, calls us out from what we've already done, and puts us in a position to believe that you are the God who can do the miraculous. Lord, today I'm praying for every marriage here, every life here, every student, every individual, every leader, every person who needs to see their faith rise, God. I'm praying, Lord, that your spirit would fill them right now as I'm speaking. Fill them with a stronger knowing that their faith makes a difference, that faith will actually get them there. That God, that you're calling them into waters that may seem deep, but Lord, you are there. You are the lifeguard in the deep. Come on, with everyone just keeping their heads bowed and their eyes closed for just a minute, I just want to ask you. I don't know where your life is. I don't know where your situation is and your circumstance, but I want to ask you if God is calling you to step over the line. This could be for your marriage. This could be for your future. This could be for your kids. Maybe the message I'm speaking this morning is hitting the nail on the head for where you're at right now. If that's you, I just want you to stand up right now wherever you are. I'm just going to pray for you. As a church, we're going to pray for our community here, our church family. Come on, different people going through different things, unique situations, unique scenarios. Some people need more faith in what they've just come out of. Some people have gone to the doctors and heard bad news. They need faith for the season ahead. Some people don't know what's going to be next, and they're walking through the difficulty of what they have to process. Okay, they need faith as well. We're going to gather together as a church family, and we're going to be connected by faith for our friends here and our family. Come on, anyone else, just before I close, you need faith for this season. You need faith for right now. Come on, it's freely available to you. God says, this is yours. Anyone who lacks wisdom, he says, ask and it is freely given. This is not a time for pride. This is not a time for I got this. This is not a time for I'll be okay. This is a time for, like the blind beggar and the woman with the issue of blood, to call out in faith and say, God, change my situation. God is waiting for a desperate call from people to get beyond their pride and see he wants to do something so powerful and so miraculous in our lives. But we got to get past our pride. We got to get past what other people think. Come on, this is your moment. This is why God brought you here today. This is no accident. This is the message you needed to hear. This is the word God wanted to say to you this morning. It's a race of faith. Lord Jesus, for every person right now embracing you by faith. Well, come on, just lift your hands to God wherever you are. Come on, as a sign of faith, God, we lift our hearts to you. Lord, you have our situations. You know what's going on. You know the pain. You know the sorrow. You know the difficulty. You know the discouragement. You know the victory that is possible, God. You know the prosperity that's ahead. You know the potential that's ahead. You know the possibilities, God. We lift this situation up to you. Each one of us in our own unique story, in our own unique life, God. We bring this to you when we come to you today and we say, God, have your way in our life. Have your way in my heart. Remove any unclean thing from my speech, God. Let me speak with words of faith and life in every situation, Lord. Don't allow me to be clouded by the fogginess of what I see, and the windshield wipers are not working and I can't see this. God, clarify that so I can see, God. Let me see with eyes of faith. Keep the enemy far from me, from my heart, from my mind. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. Let's give God a good hand this morning. Let's thank him like he saved us. Let's thank him like he's changing the situation right now.